I want us to think about the subject of worship. And we have looked at the subject of worship many times before. But this message has to do with that series of messages that I told you about several weeks ago, where we asked the question, why worship? We looked at why assemble. Why do we assemble? Why should we assemble? Why are we bound to assemble? The importance of assembling. Well, when we assemble not just to spin our wheels, but we assemble to worship. And what we do here in the house of the Lord is important. But why worship? I was thinking, as a commentary on our society, almost every day, probably every day, we go out and we live in this world, and you know who we never hear about? God. How often do you hear God mentioned in your everyday life? How often do you hear God acknowledged as God? Most everything that could be in any way, shape, or form said to be in reference to God is said negatively, as though he doesn't exist. We can't even get a weather report without giving the glory to somebody other than God. There's no such thing as Mother Nature, but there is a such thing as God. So in a world where God is unimportant, where the overwhelming majority of people do not believe in him and do not worship him, why worship? Why is it important for us to worship? Jesus said in John chapter 4, to worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4, 23, 24, around about there. That indicates to us that worship is something that begins inside. Worship is our having a reverence, our having a spirit of exaltation, our having a spirit of glorifying God inside of us. We worship in spirit, not in the flesh. Flesh is just what carries us around. But we worship in spirit and in truth. We have a spirit of reverence, exaltation of God, glorifying of God. And as we have this inside of us in regards to God, it is shown forth in our singing. It is shown forth in our praying. It is shown forth in our receiving from the Word of God. Worship, true biblical worship, comes from within, where God is exalted and God is glorified, and is reflected in all that we do externally. But true biblical worship has very little to do with the flesh, has very little to do with physical effect. And yet most people judge worship today by the physical effect, when biblically it has very little to do with the physical effect, little or nothing to do with the physical effect. Because the effects of worship, because it is a spiritual exercise, something that begins within us that is demonstrated externally in our actions, because it begins in the Spirit, inside of us, the real effects of worship return to bless us spiritually. I always quote that passage, I can't remember if it's Timothy or Titus, where it speaks of, pretty sure it's Timothy, speaks of bodily exercise, the externals. I believe he's speaking of religion there. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Little benefit to the external effects, the effects of worship upon the flesh. I don't have a text, but I want to read to you very quickly from Revelation chapter 22, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. John is overwhelmed with all that he saw and all that he heard and all that he was witness to. And this angel that was used to bring the message was there in close proximity to John and his vision. And so, being so moved by all that he saw, he fell down to worship the angel. I think you or I would probably do the same thing if we were under the revelation that John was under. Some would argue that this angel here was Christ. I don't know that it is or that it could be Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, there is a distinction made between God, Christ, and the angel that participated in the delivering of the revelation. So this angel is there. John falls down before him to worship him. Then saith he unto me, the angel said unto John, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Then he states the last two words of verse number 9, worship God. Worship God. The book of Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still. Not be moved. Don't be jumping around. Don't be all stirred up in the flesh. But be still. And know, I am God. Another passage from the Psalms, chapter 104, verse 34. The psalmist speaks about his meditation of God. His meditation of God. So, the worship of God begins inside of us as believers, inside of us as the people of God. It's when we have a reverence, an exaltation, a glorification of God in our hearts and in our minds and in our thoughts, it is reflected in our singing of songs from the heart, praying of prayers from the heart, our receiving from God's word into our heart, his engrafted word. It has little or nothing to do with the physical effect. Its effect is spiritual. John was so moved and affected so much by what he saw, he got into false worship, the wrong kind of worship. The angel told him, don't worship me. He kind of lists some things that we saw Wednesday night when John spoke about, I'm your brother, I'm your companion in tribulation and in the testimony of Jesus Christ. The angel put himself on that same level. He says, I'm thy fellow servant, thy brethren, of thy brethren, the prophets, and them which keep the sayings of this book. I'm just another servant of the Lord. Worship God. Be still and know there's a God. Be still and know who God is. Be still and have thoughts that are filled with God. Have thoughts and motivations and wonderment in your heart towards the greatness of God, the awesomeness of God. Maybe most important of all, the reality of God. Do you know there's a God? If you know there's a God, then worship Him. Worship Him. There's 4 points to this message. We're only going to try to get 2 of them covered. Why worship? Why come here every Sunday morning? Why come here every Sunday evening? Why come here every Wednesday and worship? Nobody else is. Are those that give lip service to supposedly worshiping are just really worshiping themselves, doing that which pleases the flesh and satisfies the flesh? So why bother worship in 2022? Why worship? Well, the first point, the most important point, in response to that, why worship? Why worship? Because of who He is. Because of who He is. We're talking about God. We're talking about the one who created us. We're talking about the one who saved us. We're talking about the one whose grace we so freely and richly enjoy. We're talking about the one who controls the world, who rules the universe. We're talking about the one who has our heart beating within His hands. We're talking about the one who directs us and leads us. We're talking about the one who holds tomorrow that we've just talked about in our song. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who's in control. I know who rules and reigns and who holds tomorrow. It's God. So why bother worship in 2022? Because of who He is. Oh, may we never lose sight of who He is. May we never get humdrum and routine about our worship. Humdrum and routine about our understanding of the reality of God. May we never just come to church to show up, put in our time, to appease somebody else. But may we always remember who He is. We're talking about worship. Worship God was the message. The angel in our world today, many people worship angels. There's religions that involve the worship of angels. This angel told John, worship God. Worship God because of who He is. Psalms 29. We got many passages of Scripture and many passages of Scripture because that's the instrument that we're using to say what we want to say about the worship of God. So we'll try to move quickly and not spend any more time than is required expounding the passage. In Psalms 29, verse 1, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. I didn't take a lot of time to consider who he's referring to by the mighty. Must be somebody who's of great might or strength, power, authority. Anybody who might be tempted not to worship God, anybody who might be tempted to think they're deserving of worship. Anybody who might be of the ability to force somebody else to worship them. The instruction of the psalm is, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Only God deserves glory and strength, even from the mighty. There is the use of the word God in Scripture, and it actually is in reference to man and men. The word God is sometimes used to speak of somebody in great authority, great power. And the Scriptures never tell us to worship man or worship a man who's in great power or great authority. And this passage of Scripture tells us somebody with great power and great authority is still to glorify God, still worship Him. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. It's due Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 3 on to verse number 9 speaks about the voice of God and all that God does with just the speaking of His voice. I'd encourage you when you have time to just go through that verse by verse. See all the glory and the power that is seen in the voice of the Lord. But the message of this psalm is give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In verse number 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people. Give the glory and the strength and the honor due His name. No matter who you are, your status, your position in life, your power or authority or your dominion or your reign, give glory to God. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 25. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Here the little g, God, obviously has to do with those man-made gods. The gods that are shown forth, revealed to us by the making of idols. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. There's nobody like God. There's no other God. There are those which man calls God, idols and statues and monuments that he prays to, that he bows to, that he says somehow represents his God. But there's only one God. Verse number 26, for all the gods of the people are idols. There's another place of Scripture, I didn't look it up, where it refers to the gods of the people as dumb idols. Dumb idols. Senseless. They can't hear, they can't speak, they can't do anything, they're powerless. They're pieces of wood, they're pieces of metal, they're pieces of rock. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Verse 28. Verse 29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalms 100. Psalm 100. It's a very lengthy chapter, so I guess we'll have to read all of it. But in Psalms chapter 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. So know who God is. Know there's only one God. Know the one to which we worship. Then he goes on to say, after know ye the Lord, He is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Know ye the Lord, he is God. Know he is the Lord. He's the one who made us. We didn't make ourselves. And we didn't evolve. We didn't crawl out from under a rock or crawl up some slimy bank of some body of water somewhere. This world and this universe was not created by a great explosion or whatever else man comes up with to avoid the reality of God. But know who the Lord is. Know that he made us. Scriptures say he made everything that is. Every living thing. Every stationary thing. Everything. He's the creator of all things. We are the people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generation. Know ye the Lord, he is God. Know it is he that made us and not we ourselves. Can't get sidetracked. But in this psalm, talks about entering to his gates, entering to his courts. We're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We're to enter into his courts with praise. We're to enter both of these and come together with thankfulness, with blessing towards his name. See, that reveals to us that worship begins inside. Worship begins inside of his people. We come into his house, we come into the courts already prepared by worshiping the Lord. We're able to be thankful and we're able to praise. We're able to go through the externals of worship because we are worshiping God inside, within our Lord. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, this is what the 24 elders say in John's vision of glory. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Worship God because of who he is. Amen. Why do we worship? Because of who God is. About everything we read in the Bible about God, the works of God, the honor and the glory that is due God, is disputed and refused by society. We're living in a society, we're living in a culture that hates God. That's foreign to God, that teaches there is no God, or if there is a God, he doesn't have anything to do with anything. He's just a state of whatever you want to believe in your own heart and your own mind. But we worship because he's God. He's the only God there is. We worship because he created all things. We worship because he's the Redeemer of man. We worship God because of who he is. God is God. And you're not going to hear about God. You're not going to have any encouragement to conceive God, to relate to God, to worship God in this world or from this world. We're living in enemy territory. So we need to be faithful to come together to worship God. First of all, because of who he is. Second thought we'll cover quickly. Why worship 2022 when so many enlightened people don't believe in God or don't worship God, won't ever be found in church or going to the church? Why worship? Why should we still worship? Why is worship still important? Well, first of all, because of who he is. But another answer to the question why worship is because of who we are. Why worship God? Because of who God is. God is God. He's real. But we ought to worship God, secondly, because of who we are. Let us never forget who we are. Let us never forget the blessings of God upon our lives. Let us never forget the Savior that God provided for our sins' forgiveness. Let us never forget that Ephesians chapter 2 says we're saved by grace. Whose grace are we talking about? We're talking about God's grace. So we worship God because of who God is. And we worship God because of who we are. You know what we are? Best case, best description, we're sinners saved by grace. Whose grace? I just said it. God's grace. If we will always be faithful to remember who we are, I believe we will be encouraged to be faithful to worship. We worship God because of who God is. We worship God because of who we are. We don't deserve to be worshipped. At best, the Bible calls us unprofitable servants. You search the scriptures and the scriptures don't do anything to exalt man, to puff man up. Scriptures are the word of God. They only encourage us to puff God up, to exalt God, to lift God up, to worship him. As Ephesians 2, I just quoted, says we are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. We worship God because we're sinners. But we're saved by grace. What would somebody who's really experienced salvation rather be doing than worshiping God? They either have lost the preciousness of their salvation, the value of their salvation, or quite possibly they never had it. If remembering that you're just a sinner saved by grace, that I'm just a sinner saved by grace, if that doesn't drive us to worship the God who is God, the holy, perfect, righteous God, I don't reckon anything will. I don't reckon anything will. Ephesians chapter 1. We're sinners saved by grace. Chapter 2, verse 8 tells us. Chapter 1 expands that a little bit more and gives us a little more reason why, because of who we are, we should worship God. Ephesians 1, verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Praised be God. Worshipped be God. exalted, glorified, magnified be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Why worship God? Because of who we are, sinners saved by grace, and people who have experienced all of His goodness and all of His blessings upon us, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He hasn't blessed us with some. He hasn't blessed us with most. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. There's a good reason to worship Him. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, etc., etc. Onward. We ought to worship God because of who we are. Sinners saved by grace, those who've experienced all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places because of God. Because of God. Psalms 40. Verse number 1 will begin. Psalm 40, verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. I waited, I needed, I was in desperate straits, and God inclined His ear to me. He brought me up out of the horrible pit. He brought me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock. He established my going. As a result of that, I think verse number 3 reads, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. What kind of song is it? Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And that passage of Scripture just goes on, exalting God, giving God glory. So why worship? We exalt, we reverence, we glorify God inside, spiritually speaking. We come into the house of the Lord as the church of Christ in this place. And that worship spirit that is within us reveals itself and demonstrates itself in the songs we sing, in the prayers that we pray, and in the word that is received of God. But the Lord's kind of churches have been doing this for over 2,000 years. Why keep it up? Why bother to be here this morning? I kind of want to pause and take the time to search that question out. Why are you here? There's probably a lot of reasons why some people are here. But some of you, I really believe, some of you are here to worship God. Let me encourage you, with this thought of why keep on worshiping? Why bother still doing this after a couple thousand years of churches gathering together and worshiping the Lord? First and foremost, because of who He is. You can't spend 5 seconds contemplating how great God is, and if you're one of His, not end up worshiping Him, praising Him, exalting Him, glorifying Him. He's such a great God. He's the God of gods, the only God there is, the God of creation, the God of our salvation, the planning and the purposing and the carrying out of our salvation, our redemption. He left the throne of heaven, took on the form of a man to save our souls. So we worship Him because of who He is. May He be a reality to you. May you maintain that reality. And may you keep on worshiping Him. And if you grow weary and you think, well, maybe I need to take a break, not be bothered with worshiping Him, stop and think about who you are. Sinner saved by grace. When you think about amazing grace, don't ever forget you're talking about God's grace. So we worship because of who He is. We worship because of who we are. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.